Welcome to the Insulite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour with Robin Nielsen, our Chief Wellness Officer. It's our meeting place to connect, motivate, and learn, where we empower women with PCOS to transform their lives through these powerful interviews with some of the world's leading experts on PCOS. Hi, everyone. This is Robin Nielsen, and it's great to be here with you on Inspiration Hour. I have a very special guest today who I'll introduce to you in just a moment. Right now, I want to tell you about how you can enter to win one of our PCOS 5 element systems and become a VIP. It's a pretty big deal for us to give this away each month. And we'll announce the winner at the end of our program today. And how you can enter to win is we want you to post your big why. So you can, if you're only on the telephone, you can press star 2 and we'll get you at the end. But we're changing this around just a little bit because we really want you to be excited about taking charge of your health. And we don't want to give this away to just anyone. We want to give this system away to someone who's really ready to make some powerful change. And so what is your big why? Why do you want to feel better? Why do you want to take charge of your health? Why do you want your symptoms to, pretty much disappear? Why do you want to have good energy? Why do you want to look and feel your best? Why? Why is that? My big why, so I'll give you an example here. My big why is because I think that being sick or not being well or not being your most vibrant self is a really lonely place. And I discovered this as a child. So when I was growing up, if I got sick, if I got a cold or an ear infection or the flu or whatever it was, I felt like I just was stuck. I felt so stuck. I felt so confined. I felt so lonely. I thought, this really sucks. I had things to do, people to see, places to go, and I was just being sick. So my big why is that I just want to be well. I don't want anything to stand in the way of what I want to do in my life. That's my big why. I want to be able to love, to do, to participate, to show up. Like, that's my big why. So what is your big why? And you can just post it on the Q&A box on our Inspiration Hour page where you're listening and watching right now. Or you can just press star 2 to raise your hand if you have your big why, and I'll ask you towards the end of the program. So you've got to stay for the whole thing and just be present. If you have any questions, this is a great time to ask questions. Really would love to support you and get your questions answered. You can either type it right in our Q&A box there online, or you can also press star 2 just to ask a question. You don't even have to participate in the giveaway. So we already have one person who has raised their hand to give us their big why. So it's unlimited. Go ahead. Whoever would like to participate, you can definitely do that. We're excited, so excited to support you. If we could, we would just help every single woman, no charge. We're just so passionate about helping women to heal and transform their lives. So I just want to, honor you for showing up today. That's a big deal. Just by showing up here on this call, you are already changing the way your genes express themselves and for the better, right? So information, knowledge is power. And then, of course, doing something about it is transformative. So you can't just get the knowledge, right? You have to take action. Because it's the action part that's the transformative part. So, it's your special time to get some of your questions answered. PCOS can be so complicated, and the path to healing can be so confusing. We get so much differing information, and that's why we hold Inspiration Hours, so we can, give you insights into what others are doing, on their path, like how they discovered, what's going on with them and what they're doing to take care of themselves. Chances are many other women have the exact same question you do, so you'll not only be helping yourself when you ask a question, but you'll be helping others. And if you're listening to the replay, you can still post a question and we'll get it answered for you. So we try to do that. So today, I'd like to introduce the beautiful, and Lisa, you're going to have to help me with your last name, but it's Lisa, is it Donna Merkel?
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yay! And we have invited Lisa onto our program today because she is someone who really stood out in our community, and we only pick those women who we feel, you know, are really taking charge, are really taking ownership of their health, and they're showing up, right? And so Lisa impressed our team, and so she is here with us today, and really excited to have you on. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
So Lisa, we want to know where you are calling in from.
I currently live in Virginia. Kind of like on the, I'm not really in D.C., but we're all like that D.C. metro area, but I'm a little bit more out in the country.
Okay. Oh, it's so beautiful there. Oh, my gosh.
And lots to do, yes.
Yeah, that's so true because you're so close to D.C. I've only been there once. We took our boys there when they were, I think, just early teenage years, I guess, and we went to D.C. and then went into Virginia, and it was just so beautiful. I'm a horse girl. I grew up with horses, and that's real horse country out there.
Yeah, hunt country, they call it, and wine country. So it's very relaxing out this way. I don't like to go into D.C. very often just because it's chaotic and crazy, and you never know where you park. And even if you park, you don't know if you're going to really find your car again. So I prefer being out a little bit, and the calmness of life out this way is a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, so beautiful. How nice. So we'd love to hear about you. So tell us a little bit about yourself so we can get to know you and some of the things that you love, and maybe a little bit about your family, hobbies, favorite meal, that sort of thing.
Well, I always said I think I was like, should have been born Italian, because anything Italian, I love. sometimes I worry that that's the pasta end of it, but I have been low carb for probably close to 10 years now, so that hurts a little bit. But I am 51 years old this year. I'm the oldest of seven children. I have four sisters, and I am a mother. I have two children. So when I was growing up, being the oldest, I was always kind of the one to help take care of my siblings, and my youngest brother was born when I was 18. So a lot of times I was taking my brother on dates with me, with my boyfriend, who's now my husband, my high school sweetheart, and you know, I just felt like I had raised kids for a very long time, even when I got married at 21. So I put a restriction that I would, you know, have my reproductive years be until I was 29, or 30, really. I had my second child at 29. So because I didn't want to feel like I had raised kids my whole life, because I already felt like I had done it 20 years prior.
Right.
So, you know, in hindsight, was that good or bad? I don't know. I don't think we can live with regret. I think we can just, you know, like do the best that we can do. Me and my husband have moved around a bit. We're on our 30th wedding anniversary this year. So that's kind of exciting. And,
well, congratulations. You said you're 30th?
Thank you. 30, yeah. We're going to do a cruise in the Caribbean, and, you know, there's hurricanes, so who knows? But that's what we're supposed to do. But my journey really through PCOS only started when my daughter was 16. She was experiencing some pain and stuff, and I took her in, and they found a huge cyst on her ovary. And that's when PCOS was really brought to light for me. And, you know, for a long time, years and years, I had been struggling with doctors and searching for somebody to give me answers, like, why do I have these problems? Why am I so much different than my sisters? You know, I'm the only one who has symptoms of PCOS with all of my sisters. And so for a long time, I just felt like, you know, why? You know, like, they're all very tall and thin, and I'm short and heavy, you know, and so I don't know. I just feel like maybe I was strong enough for it. There's a reason behind it, I guess. But I had been, you know, when I first got married, they put me on birth control pills. That was terrible. That was the worst experience of my life, and I quit them, and I never touched them again. And even if doctors would recommend them to me, I was just like, no, no, that was bad. It was like an out-of-body experience. They always want to check my thyroid, which always seems to be working fine. They did put me on metformin for quite a long time. The first experience with that one was frightening. But then later I learned, you know, how you have to eat with it. But I listened to one of your inspiration hours maybe a couple of a month ago or so. And I talked to my doctor, and I'm actually off of it. So I decided that it was something I wanted to go without and see, you know, how my body reacts. So I do want to thank you for that. And like, the courage to speak up. You know, I've tried different doctors, and, you know, I tell them what I need to tell them, but they don't listen to me. And so then I would, you know, let that go for, you know, a time or two, and then I'd quit and go to another doctor until I could find a doctor that really understood me. And I was successful in that. You know, he was very knowledgeable about PCOS and the body and you know, what will work and what wouldn't work. And I was very thankful to have that, because for a long time, I just felt like I was odd.
So you've been super brave, you know. By that's a cool story about metformin. And what have you noticed since you've gone off it? Have you been monitoring your blood sugar, or what have you been doing to manage it?
I never really had problems with my blood sugar. They just always said, because I carried the weight around my middle, that I should take metformin, and that it helped with liver function and all of that. There was never a reason other than, you know, the weight for me to have metformin.
And did you notice that it helped you with the weight?
I don't know that it helps or hurts. I mean, if you don't eat lower carb, it has gastro problems like crazy. And I didn't know that the first time I took it. And when the doctor recommended that I take it the second time, I was like, no, no, that was ugly. No way. And then that's when he told me, well, you need to eat low carb and, you know, higher protein, or else you will have problems. And I was like, oh, well, that was never explained to me before. So I was kind of surprised on that. But, you know, I feel like sometimes it's a crutch, because, like, they told me I should take it, so then I should take it, kind of thing. But I'm becoming braver and, you know, kind of standing up and letting them know, you know, I want to know why. You know, like, why should I take this? Tell me more information about it.
Yeah, good for you. So one of my colleagues is very outspoken about this, and he has a huge following now, millions and millions and millions of people. And he was just on a stage with Tony Robbins, So, you know, he has a lot of traction. And because of this, I think that we're in for a real paradigm shift in the medical community, because he's really preaching to fire your doctor if your doctor is not supporting you in your path to wellness, right? So I think that we get caught up in the white coat syndrome, and we forget that our doctor's working for us, right? And we're not saying that what's happening is wrong. We're just saying that we're not informed enough to know what to ask for.
Right. And I think, especially on my journey with PCOS, I think everybody wants to lump you in a certain basket. And we're all individuals, and what works for me may or may not work directly for someone else. But it's good to hear about those experiences and to try different things, because you never really know. You know, like for me, exercise is really good. It helps my mind. It helps my body. I feel healthy when I do it. If I exercise too much, though, I don't have any benefit. So there for a while, I was working out 2 hours every day after work. I would go to work, and I would stop at the gym on the way home, 2 hours, work out, and then come home. After about 3 months, I think I lost a total of 8 pounds. And I was just so frustrated. And, you know, it was to the point where I felt like people were looking at me and saying, yeah, right, you work out, you know, like it, mm-hmm. or what do you actually eat, you know, because like calories in versus calories out, but that doesn't always have the same correlation with every person. One endocrinologist once told me that I needed to eat a lettuce salad with only oil and vinegar. And if I did not lose weight, then it was my fault for not following his direction. And I'm like, tell me, would you take that advice from someone? Like, let's be realistic. You know, there is more to life than size. And I feel like if I feel healthy and I'm taking care of myself, then, you know, everything will eventually fall in. And since I've been doing the five element system, I have found more peace within myself. Like I feel it's just like all the pieces are fitting together. Where before I felt a little disconnected from things. You know, somebody would tell me to do this and somebody would tell me to do this, but like everything seemed to kind of fall a little bit in its right place. And one time I went out of town and I forgot them. I couldn't find them. And I was frantic. I was just like, oh, my gosh, you know. And my husband's like, I will order them. I will have them here. And it was like, no, we'll be home before they get here, you know. And I was just so mad at myself. But I felt even like my mind, I couldn't. It was, I don't want to call it like fog, but like I just felt like things weren't working right. It just. It's so hard for me to describe to you, but you know, I think the whole program pulls it all together, and that it gives a sense of balance. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. I feel like it balances me, whether it's, you know, hormonal or emotional or whatever it was. But once I added that element in, I feel like I've gotten many more results from that.
Well, that's great to hear. So, Lisa, I want to back up just a little bit here. I want to hear... So basically, you found out about PCOS because of your daughter, correct?
Yeah, and the word PCOS.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, like, when I was 29 and had my son, I really wasn't desiring any more children at that point in time. So medically, they looked at me like, well, what do you want? You know, like, you're done reproductive-wise, so what can I help you with? And so they never really wanted to explore any of that. I had my very first, so when my daughter was 16, I took her in and they discovered that large cyst. And they used an internal ultrasound. I had no idea even what that was. And I was like, why haven't I ever had this? You know, like, it was just amazing to me. So I pushed and pushed, they did give me the ultrasound then. And I think it's a tremendous tool. It did bring to light a lot of different things for me, but I think on the journey to get there, because I was past having kids or wanting to have kids, they kind of pushed me away and didn't really want to explore that. So when my daughter was diagnosed, I put the pieces together, and then I went to a doctor, and, you know, finally, with my persistence, kind of got the diagnosis that way.
And so how old were you when your daughter was diagnosed? Do you remember?
Maybe in my 30s. Let's see. So, oh, wait a minute. I was 24 and she was 16. So 40. I was actually 40.
Okay. And then what were, we'd love to hear, like, what are some of the symptoms that you were feeling that really were sort of nagging at you, that were saying, hey, I need more help. Like, what is going on with my body? You haven't really shared. Like, when did you start noticing symptoms that were not good? You know, was it in your teens? Was it in your 20s?
Yeah. When I was in, like, maybe high school and in my 20s, I know I would skip a period or two from time to time. And, you know, I didn't really care about that because I'm like, yay, I didn't have one, you know, whatever. But then when we were trying to have kids, I got married at 21, and then I was 24 when I had Nicole. So there was about 3 years there where we kind of tried. And I always kind of dismissed it a little bit, like, when I wanted a baby, he didn't. And when he wanted one, maybe I didn't. You know, every month it was like to make that next step. So, you know, I kind of dismissed that one. But then there's 5 years between my kids, and we did try in between there. I had almost given up. I was going to buy myself a convertible, and I was going to go, like, I had ticked everything out even. I was going to go sign on it. And then I found out I was pregnant. So with my son. So then I gave up my sports car for my son. And
was that a good trade-off?
Always, I think so. He's a sweetie.
Yeah, of course.
And let's see here. Oh, so when I was like in my 30s, I really struggled with my weight. And never really knew why. I worked, I was busy, I had little kids, I just thought I was making the wrong choices or whatever, but I have all these sisters, and the sister that's right directly under me, we're only about a year apart. So, and her and I are total opposites. She's tall and super thin, got these skinny, skinny legs. And, you know, I'm short, and I'm heavy just around the middle. My legs aren't huge, but they're not skinny like hers. And so I always kind of compared myself, I think, a little bit. But I really wasn't that concerned about it until really my daughter, you know, and I started recognizing a lot of changes within her. And mainly it was weight related. Now, my period did get really, really heavy towards my 40s. And then I had a uterine ablation done to stop that. And I hadn't really had a period since that, which, you know, I guess it was making up for the periods of time where I didn't have periods. But that was pretty traumatic. But I still struggled with the weight. And even though I worked out and took care of myself, it just never, ever got easy for me. Now, physically, I was pretty fit. You know, me and my sisters, we would go on vacation and, you know, we'd hike in Arizona and, you know, do all kinds of stuff. And I could really keep up, but it was a size thing for me more than anything else. Now, I did and still sometimes do get some acne. And the hair has almost stopped since I've been doing the system. But, you know, just every once in a while there would be one or whatever. But the first time I saw that, it was like 2 inches long. And I was like, how did this happen? You know, but it was like, whoa, that was like when I was in my 30s. But
so you had some facial hair?
Yeah.
Okay. So you had a little bit of acne, and then in your 30s, you started noticing some facial hair?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is that when I interview our special guest for Inspiration Hour, we're really good at not remembering things. Right? And what's so interesting is that the reason, like you kind of glossed over a lot of big things, you know. Oh yeah, and by the way, I had a uterine ablation. that's a big, you know, that's a really big deal, right? It's a major surgical procedure, and you had really, like, heavy menstrual cycle that led to that, and that's, you know, a huge indication that your body is not in hormonal balance. In fact, anybody who has not listened to the webinar with Dr. Carrie Jones that we had last Wednesday, please get on and listen to that. That is amazing. Angie, let's see. Could you put it in our chat window? It's webinar hormone testing. So it's pcos.com/webinar hormone testing. Definitely just register for that and listen to that, because it'll tell you exactly why you get facial hair, exactly why your periods get really, really heavy, exactly why you're not having a menstrual cycle or your cycle is irregular. You know, exactly why, I think we talked about weight gain, we talked about acne, you know, what's going on when you get acne, all these things, right? Knowing why that's happening and what you can do to stop it is just imperative, right? Knowledge is power. So I just want to get back to, you know, some of the things that you said. You had some really big things happen, but when they improve, then we tend to forget all about them. You know, we only focus on what's bad right now. So I just want you to sit for a minute and think of, like, what else was going on for you at the time. You had mentioned that, you know, with the PCOS vital element system, you just feel a little bit more at peace. You feel a little bit more like you've got your act together. Maybe it balances you a little bit. The hair growth, facial hair growth, has stopped for the most part. So what was, you know, what other things were going on for you? Were you feeling a little bit maybe unfocused, maybe a little ADD, maybe a little distracted? Like, what was going on mentally?
I think at that point in time, when a lot of that was going on, like, it was crazy hectic with my kids. I just think life wasn't really balanced. I was working and my husband and I have moved quite a bit too. We grew up in Ohio, and that's where we had our kids. We moved to Minnesota, and then we were there only really about 5 years, and then we moved to Colorado, and then we've moved to Virginia. So, like, I think life for me was a little chaotic in general. And I think sometimes with the moving and exploring new doctors, I mean, that's a good way in some case to have an excuse to go find a new doctor. But then, like, when I did find my doctor in Colorado, and then we had to move. To be quite honest, I did go back and forth to Colorado. My daughter still lives there. But to see him, and now he's recently ended his practice. So it's like, okay. Oh, why? But it really was a long distance to go to have answers. But I mean, like, I know now a lot. I have given myself a lot of knowledge throughout the whole journey that I feel like I'm in a better place just knowing. Like, I think because women are more, I think it's being diagnosed more now than it ever was. But I think that whole time that I just didn't know, like, there was something defective with me and I just couldn't figure it out, that I think now when, because they are diagnosing it more frequently, that it's beneficial for people to understand and to find help and to explore these different things that help along the way. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
I like that viewpoint. Yeah, and I like your viewpoint a lot. You know, normally I, you know, tell women, you know, never mind a diagnosis, because the diagnosis, you know, just means that you have something, right? And a lot of us want to know that we have something wrong, but and I'm not sure why that is. Why do we want to know that we have something wrong?
we want to know
that we have something bad going on.
I think because we judge ourselves based on everyone else. So it's like, you know, if you can't have children, then you feel like, oh, there's something wrong with me because I can't have them and everybody else can. You know, my sister, who's that you're younger than me, I was married, had a house and a family. She wasn't. She got pregnant. And for, I mean, I never held it against her or my nephew. Love them to death. But, I questioned myself, what did I do wrong? Why am I not able to have, you know, here I have my life all in order. Why am I not able to get pregnant? And so I think having the diagnosis actually helps you know that you're not crazy, that not that there's something wrong with you, but there's a pathway, there's a reason. It's just not the whole why.
I like that a lot. You're right. So it sort of gives you an out. Maybe it takes the weight off of blaming yourself. Maybe that's
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's really important that if you feel that you're just not feeling right, you know, then take charge and do something about it. That's why I don't want women to wait to get a diagnosis, because it's a bunch of hormonal symptoms, and there is no diagnosis for that. PCOS right now is overdiagnosed because doctors don't know what else to call all of your hormonal things. So, you know, 1 in 5 women are diagnosed with PCOS these days. It's the number one health challenge for women. It's, you know, and agreed, of course, we suffer from a lot of hormonal imbalances. Every woman does at some point in her life. But there's a really good side to women who have PCOS. I mean, we are get-it-doners. We are powerful women. We want to make, you know, we want to do big things in our lives. We are usually stronger. We are more resilient. Like, it may not seem like it, but there are so many crazy good things about your genetic makeup when you have PCOS. I mean, look at most of our athletes, women athletes. They all have PCOS. You know, I'm a tennis player, a competitive tennis player. You look at all of the professional women tennis players, so many of them have acne on their face. Right? They just have a higher levels of testosterone.
Right.
You know, you look at models. You know, models, same thing. You know, they don't have periods and they have acne and, you know, they have all these issues. So, you know, obviously if you have more testosterone, you're going to be stronger. You know, we're just a little bit less stress resilient sometimes. You know, stress can get us down, only because our bodies tend towards that anyway, right? We tend to make more cortisol. We tend to have higher insulin levels. We tend to convert more to estrogen and testosterone. And so that's, you know, that's the downside. But if you know that and you can take care of yourself around that, then, you know, you can take the world by the tail, right? Do
right.
all these cool things because we're amazing. We're amazing people. So I would love to find out, like, what is really working for you? Have you discovered any triggers, like any foods that you eat that are a problem? You talked about exercise. If you over-exercise, that's not great. You talked about calories, and I want to make sure that everyone knows that counting calories is completely wrong. Completely
right.
wrong. If you look at the foods that have the most calories, they are healthy fats, right? And healthy
right.
fats, you have got to eat healthy fats to release weight. You've got to eat healthy fats to think clearly. You have to eat healthy fats to have good hormone balance. So forget calorie counting. It's where the calories come from, how quickly they turn into sugar that makes a difference. So if you're eating crappy
right.
junk food, right, then you better count calories, because otherwise you are going to overconsume in a really big way. But if you're eating whole real food, which is what you'll learn, you know, in the five element system, if you eat whole real food and you really, you know, get rid of gluten, sugar and dairy, which are the three most inflammatory foods, and you really cut down on your grains, you know, you'll notice that life all of a sudden gets pretty darn good. So for you, what
right.
have you noticed are foods that you really stay away from, or foods that you've noticed don't work for you?
I am low carb, so I don't really do any sugar, any white flour, any thing like that, which is kind of funny because I am a baker and I make some really awesome cookies and things, and I make them and I give that, like, my husband takes them to work. My son, he just went away to college. I send them to him all the time. but I do low carb, and I found coconut milk, which I think is amazing. I make like a nighttime, I think they call it like a golden tea or something. You warm it up with a little turmeric and ginger, and it just really, you know, the fat that's in the coconut milk really kind of makes you satisfied for the whole, you know, the whole night. Like, I don't ever, I can pretty much restrict myself on food, and if I wanted to, I could not eat all day, and I would be fine with that. You know, like, I would get hungry, but after a certain point in time, it kind of goes away. I drink large quantities of water. I don't drink a whole lot other than water, sometimes iced tea, but I used to be a huge Splenda person, and I found out that Splenda is just as bad as sugar, how it impacts my body. So I can gain weight just by having products with Splenda. So I've
okay.
kind of given that up and have gone totally sweetener free. I like just about anything, but it's just, I really restrict myself on the carbs, and I allow myself about 40 grams a day. And that's what I have the most success with, and what kind of works best, I think, with me. I think I have, like, the dairy problem. You know, it causes, like, inflammation and stuff like that for me. But, like I said, I wish I could be Italian because I love pasta, but I don't eat it. I can't. It doesn't make me feel good afterwards.
Right. And it can, you know, when you eat something like that you're intolerant to, like for me, I can eat wheat and I don't, you know, I don't notice anything instantly, right? But then it can mess up my digestion for a whole week. You know, my bowel movements become off and erratic, and then, you know, I get hungrier because I become nutrient deficient. It can block the absorption of nutrients, and, you know, all these really bad things can happen. So, you know, you might not notice right
Speaking
away, but what happens a day or two later, right? It can, up to 72 hours, you
yeah.
can have an effect. And we now offer a food intolerance test. So if anyone's interested, you can just ask a question and we'll give you the link to purchase a food intolerance test. You can, something you can do right at home is the blood spot. So you just prick your finger and put it on the paper, and then you send it back in, and they'll, I think it's 30 different foods, some of the big foods. Because sometimes we just need to see those objective results to say, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't eat that.
Right. Speaking of the restroom, so, it's been a while, but I, before the Insulite system, I would go to the, like, the number two, like, every 3 days maybe. And, like, sometimes I would be like, I don't remember when the last time. Like, I'm impatient, so, like, when I got to go, I got to go. But I didn't realize that most people go every day. I didn't know that. For a long time, right. I hadn't. But, the system has really made that regular. And I can tell you, I feel so much better now. And I think because of that.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And you're right. I mean, nobody tells us that we're supposed to have a bowel movement every single day. You know, who would know?
And when you go to the doctor, they even say, you know, are you regular? Yeah, for me, I guess I am. You know, I never thought anything of it. I was just like, they didn't say, do you go every day? They just say, are you regular? You know?
Yep, I'm regular.
Whatever. I'm not plugged up. It's just funny how when you can put the dots together that you you can, you know, get some relief and some answers that way too.
Yes. I mean, I didn't know that teenagers, you know, didn't have to get acne. I didn't know that we didn't have to have horrible pain in our gut and digestive problems and, you know, brain fog and, you know, feelings of, you know, hot and you know, exercise intolerance and all that. I mean, nobody tells you this is how you should feel, right? And so we're here telling you, you know, you deserve to feel great. And if you don't feel great, then you can do something about
it. You need to change something, right?
Yes. So did you have, like, or do you have any friends or family members who just didn't support you on this journey?
You know, everyone has pretty much supported me. I was talking to my sisters the other day, and I'm like, do you remember that? And my sisters all say, you are the strongest person I know. My sisters always believed me. If I say I was going to the gym 2 hours a day, they believed I was at the gym for 2 hours a day. So, you know, they believed my symptoms. I more had difficulty with the medical doctors thinking like I was crazy, not believing me in that aspect. But like my husband has always been supportive and my family. You know, with the moving that we do, I never had a whole lot of like close friends that I tell my story to. I think I do tend to sometimes be a little bit more private on that. And maybe because I don't want judgment, because I just feel like you don't want to give your power to somebody else. Like, I'm not going to let somebody else tell me how I should feel. So I don't give those reins over to people very easily. I guess I'm guarded in that way. But the people who I have told have been very supportive.
Yeah, that's great. You're so lucky, because a lot of times, you know, when we make changes like that, you know, we're constantly told, oh, just have one, you know, just have one cookie, or, you know, today you can eat this pasta. You know, you stay off it all the rest of the year. Why don't you just have some today?
Yeah, when I worked, I got a little bit of that. Couldn't this be your cheat day thing and stuff like that? And it's like, no, I don't have cheat, you know, so I think I tend to stay away from people who do that to me, but part of it is, you know, like I eat the way I eat because it's the best for me, and I don't feel like I need to explain that to a whole lot of people. But when we do go back to Ohio, there's a few places that are my triggers, and I have a hard time. The pizza place, like I tell my husband, we are not going there. you know, and inevitably somebody, my father-in-law, wants to order it or go there, and I was just like, you know, but I've kind of gotten away from feeling the deprivation or like I do it for me because it's what's best for me. And I guess I'm strong enough to say, you know, no, I'm not going to go there. But then again, I am the oldest of seven, so.
So they don't mess with you.
No.
Well, there was a reason why you, see, you are the strongest in the family. Oh my gosh, you set such a great example. Well, awesome. Well, gosh, Lisa, this has been so, so lovely having you share your story, and you are such an inspiration. We would love to get your top three tips for women who need help right now, which is all of us, right? We want your secrets, your top three secrets. And if you joined in late, you know, we are giving away a 5-element PCOS system. The nutrients and the whole system is good for 1 month, and if you want to continue, you need to purchase it the following month. Of course, we always encourage you to stay on at least 3 months. But if you are interested and would like to be entered into our raffle, then in our live chat, please put your big why. Why is it that you want to feel better? Like, what is motivating you to heal some of your symptoms? You know, why do you want to feel great? My big why is just because I hate being sick. I hate not being able to live my life all out. I like to play full out. I like to be present. I like my mind working, my body working. I like to feel sexy. You know, I don't always, right? But I know how to get myself back there. And, you know, we all have our ups and downs. I always say health is like the female orgasm. Right? An orgasm for women is not climax, by the way. It's different, right? Women can feel lots of pleasure without climaxing. And so it's up and down and all around. And, you know, that's how our health journey is. And so what is your big why? You know, why is it that you want to feel better? So just post that in our live chat or raise your hand by pressing *2 if you're on the phone. And then you can tell us your big why, and then we'll get you entered into our giveaway. Yay! Okay, we're going to announce the winner right after Lisa gives us her top three tips.
My top three tips, I think, would have to be don't give up. Keep searching for those answers, whatever they are. Non-scale goals or non-specific goals, maybe I'll say, because like, I don't think you should live life saying, well, you know, like, I want to get pregnant or whatever. I think we need to enjoy that journey, whatever it is, and give ourselves, like, you know, I want to wake up and, you know, be fresh, you know, in the morning instead of feeling groggy, or, you know, some other goals that aren't necessarily related to scales or specific end results. And I think just like be positive or happy in the moment. There are some things that I've tried recently, like dry brushing. I am like, this is the most amazing thing I have found for myself. It just relieves a lot of tension and feels good. But those I would have to say would be my top three things I would say is find something that makes you happy.
So what is your number three? Find something that makes you happy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And number two, go over that, have goals without end results.
Well, yeah, like don't let the scale be your your end all result. Have those little successes and things that aren't related to the scale. Like, you know, I feel better in the seat of my car, or, you know what, Recently, I took an airplane trip, and, you know, like, pulled the seatbelt a little bit further. You know, it was just like sometimes those kind of like those successes that aren't related to physical weight or to something specific is sometimes easier and more rewarding.
Yes, absolutely. So I think I can help you define that a little bit. So you want to have goals without expectations. I think that's one of the things that Lisa is telling us. And you know, it's funny because I'm doing my own little weight loss. I call it weight release journey. I want to lose about 5 pounds or so. And I'm not using the scale. In fact, I have an amazing scale, of course, that gives me body fat and lean muscle mass and BMR and all of that. But I'm not using it because I don't care. I don't care what my weight is. What I care about is like Lisa said, how I fit into my clothes, how my body feels, what my energy is like. Like, those are things that are really important. What I weigh, who cares? Right? I could care less what I weigh. What I care about is how I feel. How am I feeling? Like, that's what we need to care about. We don't want the scale to either make or break our day. That's ridiculous. Right?
And sometimes
we get on the scale first thing in the morning. Oh, nice.
And you know, I encourage my family to, you know, write on. I made like little, I don't know, they're little like maybe 2x4 strips of paper, kind of maybe they're smaller than that. But, you know, it's just enough to write, you know, just a little bit of what I'm grateful for today. And I try to do paper that's like seasonal. And then on like New Year's Eve, I dump them out and I read them. And I did it 1 year, and my husband was like, "Oh, I didn't know that made you happy." You know, like, I don't know, he called me or something from work, and I don't know, I just jotted it down. It was like, wonderful to hear from Tony today. You know, he took his lunch hour to call me or something. And it was just like, even sharing those with him has been a really, it's been really good for us and for me to, like, think about the things that I'm more grateful for rather than the things that I'm not.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. Well, what we're grateful for, we get more of. So my husband and I, before we go to sleep every night, we tell each other what we're grateful for. And sometimes we just do 3 things that we're grateful for, and sometimes the list is endless.
Yeah.
But it's nice to find like 3 new things every day, because you want to keep looking. Like, you want to train your mind and your brain to search for the good in your life. So if you always say the same things, then you're not working hard enough. So look for just simple things. Right? Simple things like there was a gentle breeze and it felt really beautiful on my skin. Or, you know, whatever it is, or the flavor of that, you know, dish that you made tonight was amazing, or, you know, I just love how you did this, or, you know, I love how this made me feel, or whatever it is. But just little things are perfect, and Oprah, you know, Winfrey is the queen of that. So thank you, Oprah.
Yeah.
We're grateful for you, right? All right. Well, gosh, Lisa,
I think
again,
sometimes when you're... I live by kind of a thought that negativity will breed more negativity, but when you're positive thoughts, it brings more positive things into your life. So I try to live by that and try to leave the negativity behind and look for those happy things in life.
Yeah. Well, you are a beautiful example of that. So thank you again for joining us today and sharing your journey. I know it's not easy, you know, to get on these inspiration hours and bare your soul, but it just means so much to us. You know, and thank you so much for doing that and for being open and honest and giving us your top 3 tips. Don't give up. Have goals without end results. Don't let the scale be your judge. And 3, find something that makes you happy. And right now it's dry brushing for Lisa. You go, girl.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to bring Angie on the line now. And I have someone who's on the phone, and I'm going to unmute you right now. And I don't know if I'm going to say your name right. Adama Kessie, is that right? Are you still with us?
Yes, you actually said it right. I wasn't expecting you to call my name.
Oh, I know. Well, it's like out of the blue, right? So what
yes.
is your big why? And look, are you in Texas somewhere?
I am in Texas.
My
big why is basically... I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
My big why is basically to have energy for my daughters. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, and for me, I experience a lot of fatigue. So trying to have that energy for them on the weekend for us to do activities is extremely hard for me.
Okay.
And so I just want to, you know, set an example for them, you know, show them, you know, to lead a healthy life, eating healthy, getting out and doing activities. And right now I feel like I'm kind of limited.
Yes. Okay, wonderful. Well, we know that the 5-element system will help you so much. Oh, my gosh. And just some things that you can do right away to help you get some energy back. So that's an awesome why. Thank you so much. And, of course, there's no judgment on my part, but I love it. So thank you for raising your hand and sharing
no
your
problem.
Big why. Angie will get you entered in. And thanks for showing up today. That's a big deal.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, anyone else on the phone, just press *2 if you'd like to enter in. And last chance to post on our live chat. And then we're going to bring, Renee, you're so welcome. Renee said, thank you, Lisa and Robin. Thank you so much for showing up. We're so grateful to have you here. Okay, Angie, so do you have a winner yet?
We do. Our winner is Kezie.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, congratulations.
I know.
So Adama Kezie, the gal who we just talked to?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Well, congratulations. Wow. All right. Well, Angie, let's see. You'll need to connect with Angie. So send her an email at support@insolitehealth.com, and she will get you all set up. All right, everyone. Well, just big kudos to you for showing up, and thank you to all who participated in the in our giveaway today. I know that that your time will come, and when you're ready, you will join us. And I look forward to seeing you here, same time, same place, next month. All right, take care, everyone. Bye now.
Thank you for joining us today on the Insolite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour. Mark your calendar now for Inspiration Hour next month.